It's time to think big with Big Alaska guests, big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your two tall Alaska tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Broadcasting from the studios of a remote cabin outside Bolchitna and streamed worldwide at KFQD.com and podcast streamed at BigAlaskaShow.com. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve and some Big Alaska Show friends. Polar bear jump off champion and our favorite Homeroid Christy Bon Hill joins us. If you like eating fish like we like eating fish, meet the guy that catches and sends it to us. From Tanner's Alaskan Seafood, Jason Tanner joins us. Designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show.
And good morning. Welcome to the Big Alaska Show. Good morning, Mike Ford, and happy anniversary to you and Jennifer.
Thank you, Uncle Steve. She's put up with my nonsense for 3 years now. It's awesome. That's,
which is an eternity.
Yes, some days she says that.
Yeah. You know, last week we kicked off our 17th anniversary for the Big Alaska Show because the polar bear jump off is where we started in Seward, Alaska, and they had their 38th annual polar bear jump off in Seward, Alaska. And you and I couldn't make this one, but it's okay because we ended up pulling out a lot of past little clips that we put together for it. It was really fun to hear the energy.
Yes.
Of doing those live ones or before a live audience, you know.
You know what it reminded me of? How much we had to scramble to get the right plugs to fit in the right holes so we can make the broadcast happen. How many times were we like 40 seconds away from going, that plug was working a half an hour ago?
One of the challenges of doing a live audience, on the one hand, you want the speakers to be to carry what you're talking about on stage
right
to all the people listening without having to doing a stage voice, you know, talking to the audience. And so we had to deal with that and all these other little technical issues. And of course, we were learning on the fly.
Yes. How we were still smiling and styling and everybody had a good time. And it's like, can you believe you're on the Big Alaska Show? I never even knew there was a Big Alaska Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you missed that. You didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that part. I tuned in a little late because I was, thank you for, giving me the day off. And I was building a big cage for Buddy the Labrador Extraordinaire. He got his little snip job there the other day. And he has to be secluded. And so I'm learning logistics of doors opening. And if you can envision, it's a three-step thing to keep Harley the Wonder Beagle at least 20 feet away from Buddy the Labrador Extraordinaire. So it's kind of like, open this door, shut that door, put this cage here, put that cage there. And then, of course, neither of them like to be secluded, right?
Yes.
So you either have the continual barking of the Labrador or the bang of the Beagle. And, I should record. I might record that and send that to you. That'd be a good ringtone.
And Buddy and the Beagle, both of them, they're loud as hell.
Yeah, they are. They're not shy. We got those bark collars and I need to get the batteries fixed on those, I think. So, but that was the excitement of the other day. So, you know, the good news is on this 21st day of January, Uncle Steve, we're headed up towards 7 hours of daylight now. We're getting like 4 minutes of daylight. We'll be over 7 hours coming up here. Gosh, by next week. Isn't that amazing?
For people who are stateside listening to this, it doesn't take much to keep us happy. We're excited. No.
Yesterday, I had to drive out to the valley. It was glorious. And you know how the mountains just, when you're driving across the flats and you look over there at the mountains, and it's just amazing.
So if you go to BigAlaskaShow.com, you'll hear our podcast from last week's show. It was clips from previous polar bear jump off interviews that we've done, the shows we did at the Ray Building with an audience for the Top 10 Jump Award Ceremony. We want to continue it on a little bit because it was such a major event. Christy Bon Hill is one of the major fundraisers and jumpers out of Homer. She's such a cool young lady we talked to her to get a little feedback how the event went this past weekend. She didn't jump, but she was a dock buddy for the eight balls. And the other interview we have is with Jason Tanner, and he owns Tanner's Alaskan Seafood. Last year, we had their company ship us some sockeye salmon and some cod, and this is in December. And so, nice. You know, it's not going to be fresh, but it's still decent. Well, they do such a good job packing it and sending it. We were so impressed. And when we were down Soldotna this past summer, we drove by and we saw their shop. So I went and talked to Betty Jean, who's sort of the manager there, and Jason wasn't there. They were out fishing. So I just said, hey, I want to meet Jason Tanner, the guy who caught this fish and sent it to us. And so we've got an interview with him. He and Mike Ferris could have a great discussion about commercial fishing.
Ah.
And about the causes of what caused this crisis of closing down the crab fishing.
Would we have to use the bleep button as much as we do with Mike?
No. Jason Tanner is no, we won't. Yeah. But we've got a fun little show here, folks, and glad to see you back, Mike Ford. Of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way. Folks, the key to doing a morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of Joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for broadcasters. Face it, just getting up in Alaska is a chore. In the winter, there's not enough sun, and in the summer, there's too much sun. Either creates a condition not conducive to getting out of bed, much less flapping one's pie hole for an hour on a radio show. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile, and lips vibrate like a 440 tuning fork, and pie holes flap like a duck wing taking off. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
It's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough of that Big Alaska Show Blend.
And that's how we roll here at the Big Alaska Show. But stick around, we have more Big Alaska Show coming up. And you can hear our show streamed and get podcasts at bigalaskashow.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. My wife Amy and I love to eat sockeye salmon and cod. Last winter, we had to go down to the States to work at my wife's father's home. He had passed away and there were a lot of repairs and loose ends we had to take care of. And Amy had come across a website for ordering sockeye and cod from a company in Soldotna. We were so impressed with the product and the service, I just had to meet the owner. By the way, if you like salmon and other Alaskan seafood, you might like to meet our next guest too. Our guest, he is the owner of Tanner's Alaskan Seafood. Would you give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Jason Tanner? Welcome to the Big Alaska Show, Jason. The way we ended up meeting you, last year, we wanted to order some fish, and we were down the tip of Texas at my father-in-law's place working on it, and somehow Amy came across your website. And so she ordered the fish and just immediately it arrived. It was well packed as far as packaging. We were expecting, you know, old dry sockeye that you make it taste better by a lot of seasoning. But it turned out the stuff we got from your company, from you guys, was fantastic. And it was like, this is in like middle of winter. And so months later, we were driving through Kenai and we saw the Kasilah fisheries. And I said, wait a minute, that seems familiar. So I stuck my head in. I talked to Betty. So she gave me your card. Anyway, we just ordered another batch from your company, Jason. You guys do a really good job. Tell me a little bit about your company.
Well, we started in 2006 was our first year that we opened. We started out doing sport fish processing only. And so we would just take care of, like, if you and your friends or your family went up there to stay to the lodge, we would, you'd bring us your fish that you just caught and we'd portion it, vacuum pack it and flash freeze it for you and store it until you left and either shipped it home for you or you took it on the airline, whatever you, the customer preferred. Did that for a little while. And then every year customers kept asking if we had anything that they could buy. And we're like, well, no. And then we finally started working with a couple, one local fisherman that did salmon. So we started out with doing a little bit of salmon from them, just doing enough to where it was caught and processed same day. Then that just kind of worked into a little bit more and more. And then we started carrying everything. And our deal is everything that we take care of, we want to make sure it's caught and processed same day. So that way it's as fresh as possible. If you don't, like a lot of the big companies, I mean, it takes 3 days if it's really, really fast and they get it processed and in the freezer. But most of the time they try to sell it fresh first. So that's up to 7 days. And if they can't move it fresh, then they'll go and portion it and then freeze it for later sales. We didn't like that. Basically, that fish starts to decompose after the first day and it just goes down from there. I mean, it tastes okay, but you can definitely taste the difference between something that's processed same day it's caught compared to something that hasn't if you put them side by side.
I mean, we were pleasantly surprised because little by little, we've just sort of, I won't mention the name of the companies I was getting in Anchorage, but it changed. Something happened where it wasn't as good. And we started looking around and that's how we came across yours. I really encourage people to go to your website because it's just a real cool family type of thing, but you have really good products. I don't know if you knew this, Jason, but you got some good stuff.
We've got some excellent stuff, especially even like our smoke product that we do ourselves in-house, our dips that we do. They're excellent also.
What's your website?
Just tannersfish.com. is the easiest way to get to us. And if you need to call us, you can call us. Betty Jean answers a lot of the phone calls. We don't have a call center. It's either going to be Betty, Ryan, or me that'll answer the phone during the off season. And then during the season, we'll have a few other people that'll be around to answer the phone.
We'll post your link to our podcast. Did you grow up around fishing?
Hunting and fishing, kind of in Washington State. I was there. I did a lot of that whenever I could when I was younger and always enjoyed it. Basically, went up to Alaska on vacation in 2005 and then fell in love with it and proceeded to try to do something from there.
You do commercial fishing?
We have our own boat. So we'll do salmon, rockfish, the shrimp. That's where we're at right now is with the permits that we have available. And then the other stuff that we have, we buy direct from our other fishermen that we used to buy from. They're all family operated small outfits. We stay away from any of that troll caught dragnet stuff. I don't like that stuff. It destroys the ocean. The only benefit it has is that it has really cheap fish for people to buy, which is not a benefit that people should be looking for.
Our deadliest catch MythBuster, I don't know if you know Mike Ferris or not. He's our deadliest catch MythBuster because he's a second generation Kodiak fisherman and he knows all the guys, you know, the people and deadliest catches. His dad sold one, like the Seabrook or whatever it was, one of the boats to them. And deadliest catch drives Mike crazy because it's so Hollywoodized. He gets going on it. But a couple of weeks or so ago, we did talk about the crab closure. The media was hyping on the fact that it was the warming and all that stuff. But I was talking to Mike about, you know, you talk about the trawling and the dragging and all that stuff. And I said, that to me sounds like it does as much damage as anything.
Yeah, that stuff does. It just tears everything out of the bottom of the ocean. Those crabs pot up. So they're big balls of them. They don't have to count broken crab as a crab. If it comes on the boat and it's all broken up, they don't have to count that as bycatch. So it's only, you only have to count the whole crabs. Well, most of those are probably going to be broken when they come up because they're going to be rolled into that net. It's like clear cutting a forest. It just bulldozes everything down there. It takes the coral out, takes all that stuff out. Really wish they'd regulate that a little bit better.
That was something that surprised me as a non-fisherman. You know, I used to fish a lot in Alaska, but I'm at that age where buying it from you is a heck of a lot cheaper and better. So, but that was a major discussion we had in a podcast about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said to Mike, is that legal? He said, yeah. It just stuns me that no one's really addressing that. A lot of people think of commercial fishing as romantic. Anybody who's ever been seasick, there's nothing romantic about that, man. And I've been seasick a couple of times, and you have to feel just a little bit better to die.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I get seasick fairly often. Not enjoyable. It's horrible. It's worse than a flu. It's just, it's crazy how it just beats you down.
Talk about some of the challenges that you face as a person in the fish industry. What are some of the things you encounter that are challenges for you?
A lot of our challenges is regulation. The problem is that all the small fishermen, like the stuff that we do and all the guys that we buy from are just little guys. They're pot fishers, they're longliners, drifters for salmon, and all those guys. And they don't have the money the big lobbyists is for the big companies do that do the dragging. So it's tough because all the bycatch from those drag trawls takes up more than the entire, like as far as halibut, for an example. Even the sport fishermen out there, the sport guys are getting reduced on what they can catch to take care of people that are coming out there just to do that fishing experience because the halibut and stuff deteriorating as far as going down. Well, the bycatch on the trawl fleet is, I can't remember what it was last year, 12 million pounds, something to that effect.
Oh, geez.
And that's just fish that's dead that they throw back in the ocean. The entire catch for the whole Alaska area for the sport guys, 9 or 10 million pounds is all they're allotted. So they throw away more fish than what they're even allotted to catch. So that actually goes into effect with the commercial guys too. The longliners, their bycatch on longlines way less than anything else. And like the pod fisheries and stuff like that, there's always some bycatch, but it's pretty minimal compared to somebody that just scoops everything off of the ocean floor. That's kind of our biggest challenge, is trying to keep being able to fish the way that we fish. With all these regulations, they cut in how much we can catch. Oh, nope, this year you guys are going to catch less. Oh, you got to catch less because the biomass isn't there. Well, the biomass isn't there because something is just sucking it up and getting rid of it.
I don't know enough about the politics of it. I'm just really, I like good fish, you know, but it just surprises me with all the interest in today's the environment. This is one that I would think that they would be hitting straight on. It does no good to wipe out the industry.
The hardest thing is that, and that's where all of us small guys are, is how do they keep allowing this? Why is it keep allowing? Well, it is. The only reason it is because they have the money to back it to pay their politicians. That's all it is.
Yeah.
If they didn't have that money backing them, pay those politicians, I guarantee there wouldn't be any trolling out there. Just like clear cut logging. I mean, they don't clear cut anymore. They'll have certain areas that they'll take out bigger paths and stuff, but they have a lot of regulation now on how many trees they can remove in a certain area. And it's the same type of thing with that ocean floor. I mean, if you go down to the Keys and that kind of stuff, there's a lot of areas you can't even drop an anchor because you might break some coral. Well, in Alaska and everywhere, they get to drag it all across and rip everything out.
It's alarming, especially to someone like me that's starting to become aware of it. And I'm going, are you kidding me? You guys have put up with this. You and Mike Ferris would hit it off. At some point, I'd like to get the two of you guys on, and I'll just move over to my little section here and listen to you guys, because I know you guys can talk fish and commercial fishing and the industry and all the stuff behind it. Here's a stupid question. Do you eat fish?
I do.
What's your favorite fish to eat?
I like king salmon. It's a real mild salmon. It's oily. I like the oily stuff. It's easy to cook. My wife's favorite sockeye, though, she's kind of the opposite of me. She likes the little drier fish.
Tell your wife that you spoke with me, and my wife and I both agree with her and realize she's the smart one. I do want to remind people, go to your website. Go check out the videos, because your little video of your family, what's really cool about that, Jason, is your description of each one of them. and each one has their own personalities, and just the sons and daughters, what a wonderful way to bring up a family. How do they like it? They seem to like it.
They enjoy it. Yep. My daughter's actually old now. That video is a few years ago. So she graduated high school last year. She's going to Glendale Academy to do like facials and that kind of stuff. So she's kind of going on her own path. My oldest boy, which is Carter, he actually started commercial fishing last year as a deckhand. So hopefully we'll see what he wants to do when he gets out of high school. He's only got a couple more years. And the two younger boys like to come help still. They're always in there. Hey, I want to work. We want to make some money. So
when do you start gearing up your new season? When does that restart kicking in for you?
We start fishing shrimp mid-April. So May 1st, we'll open our sport shops back up. So May 1st, our Nanilchik shop opens. June 1st, our Soldotna store will open. We're actually building a new location in Soldotna to get away from that little tiny shop that we had, because we couldn't service the customers we needed to out of there and make it a little bit nicer place. Hopefully that'll be done this year. We've been having a lot of troubles trying to get that thing built, but we're hoping to be able to do that. And then once we get that shop up and running, it'll be open year round.
Well, congratulations. I know it's come at very hard work. Congratulations for the growth. We knew nothing about you. The very first introduction of getting to know you and your company was when we received that package, and it was fantastic. So we're going to keep coming back, and we'll have to sometime later on, we'll need to come to Nanilchik, visit you guys out at Nanilchik. We just got to Soldotna and saw the one you're talking about, the little one that's about the size of a shoebox here.
Yep. Yep.
That's
a fine little place.
Again, your website is tannersfish.com. And again, we'll post that on our Big Alaska Show website. And we'll keep touch with you, Jason, and look forward to touching back with you when spring rolls around. Well, we'll have to catch you early, because when it's showtime for you, you probably get pretty busy, I take it.
Yeah, we get pretty busy there starting mid-June through mid-August. We're just hammered. All of our main commercial fishing just really starts blowing up, and then our sport guys are there. So all the good sport fishing's there. So then we're just hammered on both sides of our shop.
I still remember I had an economics professor in college saying, you don't make money, you grow. And I'm realizing you grow older. I'll tell you next time what I want to do is talk to you about the sports fishing side of it. I just touch on the commercial fishing. I didn't realize your background in sports fishing. Thanks for taking the time, Jason. Really appreciate it. And it's really nice meeting you and wishing you the best of luck. So let's give a warm Big Alaska Show thank you and much success to Jason Tanner. That's Jason Tanner. He has Tanner's Alaskan Seafood.
That's really a great website, tannersfish.com. And I'm over here like Pavlov's dog, I'm telling you, right? But I need to let folks know right now, the Wild King Crab and Cheese Ravioli sold out, as well as the Wild Lobster Mac and Cheese. That's sold out. Still time to get the Wild King Crab Mac and Cheese, though. They got great recipes there. Like you said about the kids and the videos. It's a neat family. Sure reminds me of the Ferris family too, doesn't it?
Yes. I like it because it's local.
Yep.
I like these small business people that, and he puts so much care into it. We're going to post this on our BigAlaskaShow.com website for people to check it out.
Well, and you can do subscriptions too. That's nice. So you just, subscribe and then, oh yeah, there's my salmon pops up on your doorstep. I like that.
They do a great job. Anyway, we've got more Big Alaska Show coming up right after this.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. Last week we had our 17th anniversary of the Big Alaska Show, and we always kick it off at the Polar Bear Jump Off in Seward, Alaska. And one of the jumpers we have every year that's one of the top fundraisers is Christy Bond Hill, who's out of Homer, Alaska, and she says a population, Mike, of about 5,500. She's raised, in the time she's jumped, about $250,000.
That's amazing.
Without further ado, this is Christy Bond Hill from Homer. And here I am with Christy Bond Hill. How many years have you been doing the polar bear jump?
This year would have technically been either my 23rd or 24th jump. I started in 99. I didn't jump in 2000. I didn't jump in 21, 22, or 23. 21 was just too weird for me. I just couldn't do it. It was just
pandemic.
Anyway. Yeah, just too much. And then broke my back last year.
Oh, that's right.
Then had elbow surgery this year. So surgeon said, no. I go, but they got divers that can help me out. And he said, no, you're not jumping. So
you have more sports injuries than like professional athletes.
I do always.
I mean, now have you always been sort of
accident prone? 100%. Yep. When
awesome.
I was seven, I broke both my arms when I was seven. The main bone broke and crossed on both my arms. I landed on my wrists backwards, my knees and wrists. And yeah, they ended up having to re-break them and set them. And I was in the hospital for 3 days, casts for 3 months, from fingertips to armpits for 10 weeks. Yeah, it's been a lifelong train wreck.
That sounds like a band, from fingertips to armpits.
Yep.
You know, we didn't make it to this one, but it was our 17th anniversary of the Big Alaska Show. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the little podcast yet.
Just happened to turn it on at 9:30. I had just got done checking in with the eight balls and doing all our deciding when we're going to meet up and stuff. And as soon as I turned it on, you had just started talking with me. I was like, oh, look at that.
Now, did you remember any of that as you're listening to it?
Little bits of it. Yeah. Yeah. Some of it I did. Definitely not all of it, but I'm like, oh boy. I think the morning that you had me on the radio in the lobby, that part of the interview, I'm pretty sure I was still a little inebriated, maybe.
Well, and wasn't that when you had your sailor outfit?
Yep. That was the day, because Uncle Tom took me out the night before. Yeah. Oh, man. And I told him, Uncle Tom, I don't drink on Friday nights because I don't want to be hungover or feeling like crap the next day. I got a big day. He took me out and said, we're going to party tonight. So, all right, Uncle Tom, whatever you want to do, we're going to do it. So we did. And oh, my goodness.
We have a picture of that somewhere. And I did such a lousy job of cataloging over the years that I've got tons of stuff. And so I'm paying for it now in the world of digital with all one thing about us. We have a lot of content over the years, and there's some really cool stuff. But I did a lousy job of organizing and cataloging it. But I have pictures of you, and I may have video of you when you were in doing that interview with us and you're in their sailor outfit. And you know, and we're making the comments about your attire and getting arrested. And I'm sure people are wondering what the hell. The other thing I failed to mention, and each one of those in that podcast, is when you talk about thinking it's the slush cup, because a lot of people we're getting a lot of people from out of state listen to the show.
Yeah.
And so I realized I need to explain that the slush cup is many miles away to the Alyeska ski resort. It's such a great story that you guys came to it. And I love the fact that you're saying that everything was frozen to you. You're wet and frozen and iced over. And you thought, great, I'm going to go do this next year.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but here we are 23 years later.
So what we did this last week is we aired our tribute to the polar bear jump off. And this was the 38th annual polar bear jump off. And when we interviewed you that time, like the 14th, or maybe, no, it was earlier. But at the time, Henry asked you how much you had raised. It was something like $100,000 or something like that. Yeah. So that gave me kind of a benchmark of where we were. I was trying to think that you've raised over something like $200,000 or so, right?
Yeah, the last time I had talked to Marilyn, she had estimated about $250,000, so about $250,000. I don't know how I raised that much. Maybe I'm bad at cataloging and writing things down as well. You know, the only reason I found out I came in first place, like 2016, I came in first place, and got a bunch of stuff and had pictures of it. It came up as a memory on my Facebook. I'm like, oh yeah, that year. Yeah. Because my jacket, like my main jacket, tells me how many years I've won, but it only has three of them. And so I haven't updated it to the rest of them. And I haven't put all the patches on either from the last few years.
You know, you're going to be like a NASCAR with all these different patches and stuff on you. And $250,000 you've raised. This is out of Homer.
Yeah.
I mean, most of your money comes, I mean, how many humans live in Homer approximately?
Now we're probably at like 5,500. So really not a lot. Between 5,000 and 5,500. I've had people from a couple different states donate as well. The biggest donations were from Sue Polis. She's a dentist here in town. She's amazing. She's always sponsoring me. She donates every year. And she said the reason she sponsors me every year is because I thank her for it every year. She goes, a lot of people, I'll give them money. They don't do anything. They just say thanks at the time and then don't recognize her later. And I do. You know, if I'm some years, I'll do the Winter Carnival and drive my truck through the parade. And one year I wrote banners on both sides of the truck. And I was in the back. I was a Gumby that year. Remember the year I was Gumby?
Yes.
Foam. It sucked. Yes. The thing was miserable, man. It was a cool costume. But yeah. I wore that and I rode in the back of the truck that my friend drove for me. It had all the names of everybody. And so that made her really appreciate it. So she's donated the most, anywhere from like 1,000 to, I think she raised almost, gave me 1,400 one year almost, or 1,375 or something. She gives me a little bit more every time. And then the other one was the Department of Alaska American Legion Auxiliary donated 1,000 one year. And that was the year that Richard had jumped with me. He was the department commander at the time. And so they gave me $1,000 for that. And then I think they gave me 1,000 next year when Jim Pisa jumped with me too. It was pretty funny.
Mike Ford and I look at each other like beagles that don't understand. We're going, wow, if she raised that much money, how many little donations was that to a population of Homer that's very small and consistently be in the top five? How many times have you won number one now?
It's probably 6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least 5 for sure. I have 3 on my coat and I know I won 2016 and there was another year I won too, but yeah, I've pretty much been in the top 5 every year, but this year I probably wouldn't have made the top 10. I mean, with having the Hill Corp way they have now, they're having people from Houston coming up. It sounds like they have people from Texas and Alaska Hill Corp, and the top fundraiser guy raised $65,000 and he jumped twice.
As he should.
Yeah, he should probably stay in the water.
just keep looping back through. With Hill Corp and all these companies, I was talking to Annette Vrolik with the American Cancer Society, and I talked to her last week. She was telling me that they've been reaching all their goals. I mean, they're really taking this to the level it really should be.
Good.
And to me, I mean, when I watch all these reality series, including the ones in Homer of people you probably know, Seward needs to be, it's one of the most interesting fundraisers for the American Cancer Society nationally.
And oh, I'm sure.
Annette and Casey and all those people in Seward are really doing a good job. It sounds like they did a really good job this past weekend. I love doing that top 10 jumper award ceremony. That when I
didn't
listen,
even get to go this year because I, you know, without jumping, I should have went last year and this year and I didn't end up going and I should have. But just remembering what time it was, I ended up being at the Sea Life Center playing instead.
We weren't there, so it wouldn't have been
that's
the same.
That's right. No, it wouldn't have.
Hearing the crowds and just the energy and the topics we're dealing with, which is a very difficult emotional topic of cancer, that's such a fantastic event. Mike Ford and I have talked about it often as we come away just really humbled by people like you and Kim and all the other people raising money. And as much respect as I have for Hill Corp, and all the, you know, the eight balls are just, you know, they've been around from the beginning, it seems like. But
yep. I think they've jumped as long as I have. Chip, I think, jumped one year more than I did before he retired. He started a year before me, I think.
Hill Corp brings in big, big bucks. But it's the little heroes like you and who go out and selflessly been doing this. I mean, even your email address has to do with the jump. And
yeah.
Is this something that you, I mean, every year we would ask you who you're jumping for, have you describe your outfit or just, but in general, it was all, you had some people you would jump for, but in general, it's been for the good of the cause.
Yep.
Is this something that just grabbed you from the beginning and you just, this has been one of your major things?
It is. My mom's a cancer survivor. She had cancer when she was 24.
Wow.
She had me at 19, so I was really young. I was only 5 when she got cancer, and it was uterine cancer. And at that time, you know, this is early 80s, you know, or like 81 or 82, I think, is when she had cancer. And they didn't have a lot of options like they do now. You know, they ended up burning the cancer out of her uterus. So, like, they didn't even do like a full on big type of take everything out surgery. They just told her, you're probably never going to have kids again. And they burned the cancer out. And she's been cancer free since. You know, she's never had a problem since then. Nothing's happened. But I've lost my grandma on both sides of my family. One to lupus and one to cancer. She had lung cancer, I believe, or liver cancer. And then I've lost a lot of friends and a lot of family to cancer. And like this year, I was going to jump for my boss. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I would have definitely jumped for her. And I told her I would be jumping in honor of you this year. And I made a luminary for her and sent her a picture. And she just thought that was the coolest thing ever. She's like, oh, thank you so much. Cause she's not really hiding it, but she's not really wanting to talk about it right now.
Right.
You know, it's still too new and it's too hard. She's been going through chemo for the last couple months. She's going to be having a surgery coming up soon. And I think March or April, she's having surgery, and it's going to be a longer road for her, but she's doing well. You know, she's trying to keep her spirits up, and that's what I hope for, is I hope that the money we raise helps her and helps everybody that is dealing with it and suffering with it. And if I ever end up having cancer, it runs high in my family, that I hope that the same happens with me.
One of the pieces we air the weekend of the Polar Bear Jump Off, I always like to keep that one little clip, that one little interview with Julie Brickner. And she was the one that came from Ohio and worked for the American Cancer Society. And one of the things I had asked her is, tell us where some of this money is going. Tell us some of the advances. She's just eloquent, Christy, where she talks about, like, her niece or someone back in the 80s had some kind of cancer, and they had to do like the bubble kind of thing around. Mm. And now she said, now that they take care of it with just taking pills.
So crazy.
It was just such a positive piece. And it's like 8 years old now. So she came up, the American Cancer Society jumped, you know, and we were doing the top 10 jumper award ceremony. And we brought her up and talked about her jumping and her experience. But we also asked her to share with some of the advances that have been going on. And it's so positive. And
I think I remember that.
It's well worth going back. It's on our podcast at bigalaskashow.com. And I really like it because she ends up saying something that was really cool. She said, the cure for cancer may not be found here in Seward, Alaska, but the money you're raising helps us find the cure.
Yep.
To your point about, you know, when it's our time, there's this support and these are advances. You mentioned the Legion. It's the American Legion.
So the American Legion Auxiliary is the ladies. The American Legion is the gentlemen. And then sons and women as well also served, so veterans. And then the sons of the American Legion are the sons of military members, and they can join. Like, okay. I got into the auxiliary because my grandpa was in the military and my dad was in the military, and that's how I ended up getting in, was through them in the lady side.
And that's where you go and blow taps.
Yeah.
You remember the last time you you climbed, I don't know, it was like 4,000 feet or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, and, that was a hike.
We were talking about how you, the amount of wind you had to blow the taps, and I could hear this, you know, this little, you know, that's been another cause for you. Tell people what it is you do on that.
So for Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and any memorial services for veterans, I play taps. I play the real taps. I have an actual bugle. It's not an electronic fake to perfection. I hate it. I hate the bugle that's fake. It drives me nuts. Everybody hates it too. Whether I mess up one day or I don't play the greatest, they'd rather hear a little eek squeak than the fake one. So I started doing that probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, I think. I started playing taps, and it was just a little bit here and there, and then it got more. And then I've also done Flag Day ceremonies too. I've played taps for pretty much anything. I can do it for the Legion. I do it for the VFW. I do it for the Elks. I'm part of the Bugles Across America. It's a national bugle association that I'm a part of. And if somebody needs a military service bugler, they go on to that website and they find out who's in their area. And I'm the only one on the Lower Peninsula that I know of right now. And I don't know anyone else that's joined that yet, but probably for the last at least six or seven years, probably closer to 10 years, I've been with the Bugles Across America and play taps with that. And I was offered to do one for a Coast Guard service, but it was going to be the very next day in Seward, and I couldn't get the day off of work, so I couldn't go. But that's the only one I've got from off of there.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that the sons of military could join, because my dad was a pilot.
You just have to have his DD-214.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're such a good citizen. Thanks. Christy. We love you. You make life fun. Now, you're in Homer. You're a Homeroid.
Yep. 40 years.
When you watch the reality shows, and what I was telling Mike Ford, I said, we should have a reality show. I mean, look at this.
That'd be great. People,
they create drama pulling a stump out.
No, they got to kill a squirrel so they can survive the winter. I don't know. I've known these families, you know, all the reality shows that are around here. I've known all of these people forever. The Dime Bandit crew. I've known them since they were little kids. Even changed diapers on one of the kids that was on the boat a long time ago. I've known them since they were babies. And then the Alaska Killer Bigfoot. I'm friends with one of the guys on that show. And
well, what we need to do is we're gonna make a trip to Homer this summer. And what we need to do is when we come in, we'll need to hook up with you and do sort of the behind the scenes, the Big Alaska show. We go and see some of these people. You know, one of the guys we have regularly on our show is Mike Ferris. He's our deadliest catch myth buster because he's a second generation Kodiak fisherman. And even at 60, he still goes out and wow. commercial fishes in the summer for a month with his son and their crew. We call him our deadliest catch myth buster because it drives him nuts how it Hollywoodizes it. But I've got a picture by the Time Bandit because he knows all those guys too. And
yeah, my sister is actually engaged to one of the Time Bandit kids.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Philip Hillstrand.
Oh my gosh, we don't care about the stars. We like these degree of separation of these little ridiculous stories. I mean, to me, I think your story is as good as any of theirs, Christy, the kind of stuff you do. And are you still working at the veterinarian?
Yes, I'm part-time right now because of my elbow surgery and I can't do any technician work. So I'm kind of just doing little dinky projects right now. But I'm also got a job with the Alaska Sea Life Center.
Ah, wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been a volunteer for a year and a half. Well, probably almost 2 years now, volunteering the Stranding Network, helping stranded sea otters and seals and stuff. And I just do a lot of monitoring, and I haven't done a live capture yet, which I've been waiting to do one. I've been so excited, but they recently had a job opening for the wildlife response specialist, which oversees the Stranding Network here in town. And I am kind of the liaison for the Sea Life Center. I'm making a presentation. I have to make two presentations this year to go to the schools, which I don't mind public speaking, but I'm not the most fun at doing it in front of hundreds of little kids. So I have to do two presentations about the Sea Life Center and about, you know, call first, don't touch an animal, stay away, keep your animals away, things like that. Then I got to go to one of the festivals this summer, maybe the Mermaid Festival or something, and be there for the Sea Life Center and explain the Stranding Network and stuff. So I'm the Homer person for that now. And I love it. It was a grant that they got approved through the Sea Life Center to have this position. So if the grant money doesn't come next year, then my position's over. But it's not like I'd quit volunteering because I love volunteering doing that. And yeah, my main job is to go out and collect data from deceased otters or seals and transport the remains. Or if it's live, I monitor it for a few hours and see, you know, I'm in contact with the Sea Life Center to decide whether we want to capture or leave it or see what the tide does on the next tide or to watch them pass, then that's what I do. But I love that. I love my job there. It's so fun. They're training me up in Seward doing stuff. And March, I get to go to Anchorage for the oil otter response again. I'm also trained in that too. I've got my Hazwhopper and I can go out on any oil spill response. I'm Hazwhopper trained for that.
Hazwhopper?
Yeah. Hazardous waste something. I can't remember the
Hazwhopper. It sounds Hazwhopper. Like the old series Kung Fu, and he would always say, Grasshopper. And oh, so I yeah. kept, and so I was like, and I used to have a set of cross-country skis called Grasshopper, you know.
Nice.
Christy, thank you so much for the time. You are a big Alaskan. Let's give Christy Von Hill a big Alaska show. Thank you and much success.
Thanks, Uncle Steve.
So that's our show. The cool thing about the Big Alaska Show is we get to meet and make new friends like Jason Tanner, who just so happens to sell tasty Alaskan seafood. And we get to hook back up with longtime friends like Christy Bond Hill and learn more about her and about all the exciting new things she's up to. And we'd like to hear from you too about any ideas or topics you'd like for us to talk about. Just visit BigAlaskaShow.com and drop us an email. And to my baby girl, love you, and Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank Christy and Jason for joining us. We want to thank you for listening. And we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good line through your two tall Alaska tails, it's got to be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.